Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is Randy Drake, a bass player from Fozzy, and I'm here talking with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got some of the bad boys here with me today. So let me just do a quick little introduction, do what we call a roll call. Simon Street, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm here.
All right, all right, all right. Sin City, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're trying to make it through this COVID. Matt Michaels, how are you?
Doing good. I did get a little something today. As people can see, King Lucky is not here.
Yeah.
And it's a very, I mean, it's a good story. It's interesting what's going on with him.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I guess this really hasn't been put out there, but during the lockdown, the pandemic, Lucky has been, you might have seen it on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. He'll occasionally like shout out restaurants that he's finding.
Yeah.
And so he's been trying all different kinds of food, and he discovered Vietnamese food, which I guess he's taken a real liking to. He really loves, I don't know if you guys have had it, but the noodles and the soup. You'll see, like, if you pass a Vietnamese restaurant, you'll see it says, like, it's like pho, P-H-O. Mm-hmm. And basically, he was enjoying it. Very simple to make, too.
Okay.
So he learned how to start cooking pho. And he started sharing it with people that, you know, he knows. And was getting good feedback and got an opportunity to start cooking this. Has a big event tonight with his family in town from all over. They came in because a friend of his is actually a chef at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with cooking all this pho, he's become really good. He's like a king of cooking it. And, you know, basically, he's become the king of pho, so we now have a pho king.
Man, I mean,
pho king.
is he over two kingdoms now, or is that just all?
Well, you got to understand that the kingdom of pho likes pho, and so, you know, what are you going to do when you have the pho king? Who is awesome at cooking?
So what you're saying is he's actually ruling over two monarchies right now. He is the fucking Smarkville as well.
He's fucking Smarkville.
He's fucking Smark. Okay, all right, easy enough.
There you go. We're gonna have to change the theme song though. I think for both to complement each other. I think
what's interesting is that for him. Mm-hmm. You would figure that there would be a lot of rats, but apparently there's no rats in Smarkville. Or
wow, really? Wow.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the one good thing I like about Smarkville is that their open borders policy. And with, you know, floods of people in our country have no place to go and don't feel like they have a home anymore, they can go there, especially if they're prophetic in nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Open borders, right?
Open borders. That's what I hear. I hear open borders.
I'm gonna try to get over there, but I don't know how they're gonna treat me though, because I don't consider myself a smark.
But they'll book you, so don't worry.
Okay.
They'll book you.
Okay.
DJ, I think you'll be safe.
Okay.
You're more of a smark than you realize.
Okay.
It's true.
Thank you.
It's true.
Okay.
You'll be incognito.
Jesus. All right. Well, look, let's get right into our three count.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Let's start off with my favorite, the money-making magazine we all love, Forbes.com. They titled NXT beats AEW again as WWE is reportedly fuming over Taz comments. Now, you know, Taz was on that that Fyter Fest last week, and he had a lot to say. Let's see. I actually can.
I actually had a nice, healthy conversation earlier today with Tony Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. In my conversation with Mr. Khan, mm-hmm. you know, I learned that basically you, Mox, that you're concerned for the health and well-being of all the athletes and crew here
mm-hmm.
in AEW. And I find that kind of, like, weird because, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. Mox, but as you're at home, you've been tested at home, not once, but twice, and you've been negative on both. And if you decided to get your ass here to work next week,
wow.
you would get tested again here in AEW, because John, as you know, we don't run a sloppy shop.
Ooh.
Mox. You have a case of one thing.
Mm.
It's the chicken shits.
Jesus.
You are afraid of the machine, and you should be, son, because he will beat your brains in and take that championship from your dumbass.
Wow.
Fight for the Fallen, the 15th of July. Who better than Brian Cage to be AEW world champion.
Wow. And WWE is fuming over these comments. At the same time, though, NXT has been whooping that ass. And I like that look Sin City's team just gave.
2 weeks in a row.
You know?
Okay, cool.
I know. But
so the full thing is 26-10-1, I think it is. One where they literally finished neck and neck, mm-hmm. and AEW's beat that ass.
But
26 weeks.
But there's a question. So, this is what we're going to talk about, though. Do you not see an issue? Is this not concerning? I know it's just two wins, I guess, back to back. But yeah. Do you not see, even from what's being presented on TV?
Well, I think that you have a huge issue and a major, major hole in a roster, as AEW has been without their world champion for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, come on.
I'm just saying, man. Realistically speaking, now, yes, I will say this.
Lesnar never on TV.
Obviously. Obviously, Lesnar was a part-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody came to know, and the WWE audience has been conditioned for that for years. AEW, not quite so much. So it's one of those things. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, man. And especially with both shows being taped for next week. And all those results are out there. I'm sure we'll talk about that. We won't spoiler drop anybody. But just so that everyone knows,
right.
both shows have been taped. So we'll see what happens next week in the ratings next week. That's it.
Dynamite drew an average viewership of 748,000, mm-hmm. down 15% from 633,000 last week.
And also finished sixth overall in the 18 to 49 bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most important bracket according to advertisers. But, you know, that's...
But WWE...
That doesn't matter. Ratings don't matter. Demographics don't matter. That's what I've been hearing from WWE maximalists for years.
They garnered 792,000 viewers and up less than 1% from last week. So I don't know. But you don't see any of this Sin City Steve as being concerning at all. Because from what
I see it as being, I don't see it as being concerning. I think that, you know, once we talk about you know, the shows and the wrestling talk,
right,
we'll be able to break down the quality of the shows. But as far as you know, the Taz comments, I'm just going to jump right in and just mm-hmm. give you my opinion. I mean, you know, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. And,
or a beaver.
Yeah. or a beaver, I guess.
Yeah.
It never caught on, Simon Street.
I know. I tried for the last week. Sorry. Let's continue.
Man. But anyway, no, it's one of those things where, you know, if WWE has told people point blank in the past to not wear masks around ringside, and, you know, they quite honestly flew in the face of everything that's been told to us on a large scale in terms of COVID with the CDC and all the guidelines and everything of that nature, that's fine. You can do that. Just don't be surprised when you have to pay the price at some point. Mm. And when you've got, you know, 25 positive tests, at least,
it's a lot.
I mean, it, you can't tell me that that's not at least a little bit haphazard. So now finally WWE has taken the steps to where they are enforcing a mask policy. Finally. But what did it take? It took half the roster being sidelined.
Yeah, but that's reflective of the governor of Florida. Come on, man.
Barring people from wearing masks, like point blank telling them you're not going to wear a mask. That's what
WWE made it a condition a while back.
It's the fact of the matter is the governor is the one who kept that state open. He's the one who allowed all that shit to be done. He allowed the tapings.
Okay.
Right? And he's the one who said, "Hey, no problems here. We got this under control. We're fine." And now he's pedaling back.
You want to know what the funniest part about this is? Mm. Politically speaking, I'm the one that should be like the one not in favor of rocking masks.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
you know.
At the end of the day, it is what it is. There is a reason for infectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And your chances for infectivity and spreading this virus are limited when you take proper precautions, when you have legitimate testing, and when you do cover your mouth and your nose. So it is what it is, but, you know, I would just like for WWE being the beacons of personal responsibility to have some personal fucking responsibility for this shit.
I would say, though, that when you have a governor who did not encourage it at all, he could have easily mandated it if he was going to keep shit open. Right? That would have solved the problem.
He could have done that.
But he wasn't going to do
that. But at the end of the day, if you have your main producer and your director and everybody in your fucking production staff telling people in your audience to not wear a mask, specifically telling people to not wear them.
It's negligence.
Come on now. Come on. That's haphazard. That is a sloppy shot.
Ooh.
Taz's comments were 100% spot on. And for anybody to defend WWE is fucking reprehensible.
Okay.
Then, fucking with a K.
But
fucking, like his royal absence.
And he took the water. That's my boy. Yeah, he took the water too. Y'all motherfuckers need to know. Take a swig. God damn it.
But that's the problem. The problem is that, and you could say that Taz's comments were fine because they were fine. No problems with his comments. What I'm saying is that you wouldn't have had this problem if the proper government steps were taken.
That's true. He did set the stage.
Yeah. It was a Florida fail. And it doesn't help that Vince is, well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, his wife?
Yeah.
Worked for a certain administration. And
works.
I'm pretty sure she's
still there.
Oh, she's still there? Yeah. I thought she was leaving. I heard she was leaving like months ago.
No. Well, it's a revolving door, bro. Come on.
Yeah, well, of course. But, you know, here you have the WWE Hall of Famer running the country, and you have a big celebration for 4th of July where people wore no masks. Okay? So if you want to put things on the idea of people not wearing masks, you got to go deeper into the fact that that company, the WWE, has a mindset that is the same mindset of our government. And we don't usually talk politics, but the fact of the matter is that this shows when you think that you're above a virus, which is a fucking pandemic, all right, follow the guidelines. I'm glad, Steve, you actually said people should be following the guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, making viewpoints heard and known and things of that nature. And the bottom line is, if people wanted to wear a mask, then they should be able to. They should be allowed. It shouldn't be one of those things where you're not allowed to be in, you know, on camera or in attendance if you're wearing a mask. That's where my problem is. So it's not an issue necessarily with the governor or anything of that nature, because at the end of the day, the governor simply stated that this event can go on. Now, mm-hmm. if we want to look at it this way, okay, cool. Should they have not opened up at all? Should everything have just been, you know, should we have had just fucking tape delay type shit, or them showing old content for the last month and a half to 2 months? That's something that we have to look at. So
I'm the one who defended that for a long time.
So ultimately keeping the production of new content coming, that is realistically all that the governor allowed for necessarily. He didn't, you know, make a mandate for that particular building, because at the end of the day, that is a private business. They can make the decision to not allow anybody on camera in the vicinity of the ring in anywhere unless they have a mask on. And if people are, you know, vehemently opposed to wearing a mask, then they don't need to be on TV. That's how it is.
But at the same time, you look, the governor here has mandated masks now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a mandate.
Right.
Go into fucking places.
Surprise. Ain't nobody wearing that shit.
It's not a law.
No.
It is a mandate. That'd be like if I said to you, hey, Michaels, you know, I really, really, really recommend that you fix something, whatever it is. You know, my mind's blank right now. But the fact is, like, unless it is signed into law, unless it is actually a law, then it's not truly enforceable.
But Florida was ignoring everything. We knew that this was going to fucking happen.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Well, because it's fucking Florida. Let's be honest. Even X amount of years before this, Florida is fucking nuts. Motherfuckers be eating people's flesh, getting high off of bath salts, fucking got Jurassic Park in the fucking Everglades and shit. Man, it's some fucked up shit in Florida.
Florida, we love you too.
What you think was going to happen?
And we thank you for being subscribers of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. We love you, Florida. I'll continue.
Fuck that. I visit, but I ain't staying.
We love you even in spite of the bath salts.
Let me ask you this, Simon Street, just before I go to the next topic, though. Taz, though, I mean, he went hard on that whole segment there. Do you believe that, you know, he went that hard using those terms, coming hard at WWE, because maybe he's beginning to see some writings on the wall with these numbers here, and says maybe I can do something to kind of up the ante a little bit, because we're maybe begin to become a little soft. So I'm just gonna come hard out here in the ring. I mean, what's your take on that? I mean,
You know, Taz was he was a little bit more than usual.
I think my biggest thing is, why the fuck not? Right now he's white hot. Mm-hmm. Why would you not go in that direction? We said the same, almost similar situation. We talk about Jake the Snake in the comments he made and when he was doing segments with Brandy. Why not? If you white hot and you a heel, mm-hmm. why not? And at the end of the day, yeah, if you're throwing in some controversial facts, because that's what we talk about, controversial facts, why not? You in a damn war. We'll be supposed to stop and eat and share bread and not be soft with our punches. I mean, not hard with our punches.
It's not a war, bro.
I know, but I'm feeding into the whole Wednesday night war. Come on, man. Come on. There are people that live in Smartville that are waiting for me to present them with something they can prophesize about and go fucking nuts with.
Maybe. Go ahead.
No, DJ, do you know the character of Taz?
Yes.
He's always been like that.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck.
No, I know.
If it was Orange Cassidy who came out and did something like that, yeah. What the fuck's going on?
But is he a WWE Hall of Famer?
That's absolutely. But the fact of the matter is
I don't know that, if I think I want to be in there before I start coming hard like that at him. You know, like it's an attack mode.
Here, Impact Newsflash. Yeah. Okay, you may think the WWE really controls who goes in the Hall of Fame, but if the right money and the right time and enough demand by the fans want it, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, you're trying to justify the Hall of Fame as an actual Hall of Fame.
It's just a money grab. That's all it is. We do it once a year, bada boom, we get money.
Right. All right.
So the WWE Hall of Fame is just as legitimate of a Hall of Fame as the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Okay.
Damn. Talking about you over there taking Taz shots. Get your boy.
No, legitimately. The
only showcase.
Real legitimate pro wrestling Hall of Fame is the Gable Hall of Fame in I think it's Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a showcase which gives us the feels nostalgia wise. It's a good money opportunity. And now they've made it a culture where we expect it every year.
All right, so it looked like apparently everyone agrees that Taz was on point and WWE should just get over it. At the mm-hmm. same time, WWE is going, well, fuck, we're just going to beat you 2 weeks straight. And in fact, we're going to come home. We're going to go hard this last
week. And they'll beat him next week, too.
Right, so.
They'll beat him this week, too.
There you go. You know, I guess they're
calling
that?
Wow.
Hot take. Actually, it's pretty much a lukewarm take because, again, I mean, you're gonna have no Jon Moxley on the show, so I mean, we'll see.
That's interesting to know that Moxley has become that big of a star, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't or he's not, but it's just interesting to know that his presence is really needed to really bring in that extra 100,000 of people. I mean,
but if I may present a bit of a handicap in AEW's direction,
yeah,
WWE does have the ability to pull slick audibles where AEW doesn't have. And let's be real, okay? I don't want to get into what we'll talk into later, but obviously there's been transplants from other brands that they're able to quickly pull an audible. Put them on a show, and you can't tell me they're not taking advantage in some of the ratings, if we care about ratings.
Okay.
But ratings don't matter.
No, they don't matter. But, you know, they matter, but they don't matter.
Well, look, I thought
both... They matter when WWE wins.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, but you're missing the whole point about AEW. The ratings don't matter, essentially, as a rating war. The ratings matter more so for AEW to survive.
That's how I look at it.
AEW is fighting for their life, their collective mm-hmm. life right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone's looking at them like there's this established fucking company. They're not. They're a fucking year old. They haven't been on a TV for a year.
And they don't have a deep roster like that. They ain't got a deep roster. Yeah. Let's be honest. I love them. I do get excited, but they don't have a deep roster. And like I said before, they can't pull an audible. They can't pull, you know, two hot commodities that's rocking all three of your shows and pull them over with the storyline and then connect it to your next pay-per-view event. I won't go into filling in the blanks. You'll hear it later, but I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go to our second count. Two. And this one is from WrestlingInc.com, and it is titled MLW Releases Saeed Al-Sabah. And hopefully I did say his name correct.
Well done.
All right. Awesome. So the story goes as this. Major League Wrestling has granted the release of Saeed. He had tweeted earlier this morning that he had asked for and was granted his release. And part of this had to do with he wanted to leave over MLW's chief operating officer, Jared St. Lawrence, relationship with Team Vision Dojo. Now, Team Vision Dojo is a Florida-based, they're going to have Florida again, Florida-based wrestling school ran by Chasen Rance, who is a registered sex offender. So, he even said, look, I it doesn't even matter if I never wrestle again, but I cannot be linked with an association that seems like they support a guy who, and especially during the time of the hashtag speaking out, is now happening. You know, once you become knowledge of something, what do you go from there? So I'm just curious, when you guys read this story, and there was also a comment that was actually written by one of the commenters that I thought was interesting. But I'll start with you, Sin City, because you're pretty good with these types of stories when they come out. What's your take on Saeed saying, look, I mean, first off, he's only, I mean, has he even wrestled yet? It looked like he only signed maybe a month ago.
Yeah, he signed on June 8th.
Right. So
and they're already giving him the Chris Benoit treatment. I went to look at the MLW site just to view his main signing announcement.
Sure.
Not even on their website anymore.
Wow.
So yeah, so it is what it is. At the end of the day, it comes down to having a, you know, personal conviction with having your name associated with people that do nefarious things.
Yeah.
My main concern is, did Saeed know about Chasen Rance and his exploits when he signed the MLW contract? That's where no one can really say for sure except for him. And at this point, we have to take him on face value with what he's saying.
Right.
Personally, there are, you know, there are some things that have been levied. And, you know, I believe that, you know, one of Saeed's tweets saying, let's protect executives with ties to pedophiles and links to missing women. Not young talent that is pushing the game forward that doesn't repeat the trash. Right. The old guard will choke on their own spit if they even think about dealing with us again. We are not for sale. So, you know, if there are ties to missing women, to pedophiles, things of that nature, then this is something that, to be bluntly honest, in my opinion, this is something that MLW needs to address. They don't just need to, you know, sweep it under the rug and just move on. You know, they do need to conduct an investigation if need be. They need to set things straight. Because, you know, if these charges are legit that Saeed is throwing out, now obviously anybody can say anything on social media.
Sure.
That, just to play devil's advocate, anybody can say anything on social media. Right. We all know that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if these claims are legitimate and, you know, there are missing women, and if, you know, if there are ties to pedophiles, you got some splaining to do. You really have some splaining to do. And it's something that now the ball is in MLW's court. No pun intended, Court Bauer. You gotta defend yourself. You gotta at least speak up, because if you stay silent in times like these with charges like those, you're just admitting guilt.
Yeah, but at the same time, Steve, the one thing that sticks out in this is the mentioning of the missing woman. That goes to Teddy Hart and that whole situation. MLW was well aware of that. We were well aware of that. Fans have been well aware of that. I mean, this story broke months ago. So by him posting that, then the main question comes down to, if that was a concern of his, okay, did he know that this guy working as a COO for this company had ties to that? That's exactly what it comes down to. But at the same time, what's very interesting is everyone's heard the whispers about what happened in the allegations on Teddy Hart. Mm-hmm. You know this going into signing your contract. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Right. And that was my exact reasoning for that point is, you know, did he know these things when he signed his deal? And is he just piling on or, you know, doing the things that, you know, that he's choosing to leave at this particular time? And I think that that's something that,
I mean, that's,
you
know, a really,
that he needs to be asked about, honestly, you know. But it's one of those things where they need to clear the air in both directions, in my opinion.
Yeah, like why would you want to risk your career or being blackballed, period, in the wrestling community out there, you know, based on this, if there is no legitimacy there? I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. This is interesting. Let me go to you, Simon Street, because see what your thoughts on this. He is a registered sex offender, as they say, and there seemed to be some connection with the chief officer Jason. Which now shows the connection. And the guy who made the comments below has also said that there are photos of these two actually together. So it's not as if the chief officer could say that he has no connection with Chance or anything. How deep should MLW think look into this? And if they make a decision that, you know, maybe they need to let him go, should they then maybe try to reach back out to you know, Saeed and see, you know, first off, did he even bring this up to court or anything? Or he just decided just to make this decision just on his own based on what he found out? I mean, what's your take on some of this, Simon?
Well, it's when I do think about a couple of things, I do think of some of the timing. And that's not to say that in light of what case he's making of why he wants to leave, he wants his release granted. But let's be honest, we are going to see some cases, especially centered around any type of social change or making awareness to where there are some people who are really honestly taking a stand and essentially boycotting or not giving their services because of what they believe in. You're going to have other people, too, who are using that as an opportunity to contractually get out of something. And that's something we also need to look at that part as well, because we don't have all of the facts. Mm-hmm. We don't know when the contract was originally signed, was this information that was public knowledge on both ends? You know, we don't have that. You know, we could try and dig for 5 hours, and I still don't think we would find it. It's just not released. So with that in mind, we do have to look at both scenarios. I think that if he is serious about it, and which it sounds like he is from when he's presenting it to us, I think good for him. I think it's great. Not a lot of people can take that risk. To you know, because in the end, it's going to cost him money. You know, is it going to really, really hurt him? Possibly. I don't know his financials. But you're taking a risk that will incur costing you. And kudos to him if he's doing it for the right reasons. If he's doing it for the wrong reasons, you better hope that no one don't understand that intent, because you're going to be exposed.
But trust but verify.
Yeah. But on the other end of the companies in general, mm-hmm. I've always had the firm belief, and it's just my belief, it's not backed by facts and it's not gospel. I do feel that a lot of companies look at whether or not to pull the trigger on having somebody, knowing certain allegations are pending or happening. I think they choose not to based on the price tag and how much money that they can garner off of that person. If it's, and it's basically about a risk, a calculated risk. They have guys that look at situations for everybody, and that's all their job is they calculate the risk, and then they give it to the executives to make that decision or not. That's an actual job, by the way. Risk assessment, I think it is, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like law firms or something like that. They take they basically give information to companies to make decisions based on risk.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, DJ, though, is you only focused on one of the comments on the thread.
Yeah, go ahead.
Patrick of Andre Giants, or Pack of Andre Giants, mm-hmm. had a response in there that said basically that Saeed is he's taken issue with the COO for having been a trainer at the school that is run by Rance. Rance is a registered sex offender. Apparently, and again, these are all alleged. I don't know. I haven't run any of these facts. This is just in the comments section. Mm. But Rance was busted a decade ago for having sex with a 15-year-old. Decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
So then he says, also, the school was the last place Teddy Hart's girlfriend, Samantha Fiddler, was last seen. So that's the missing woman link, okay?
Yeah.
When he found out, let's see, lastly, I believe it was, he found out that he was training people under 18. Rance was training people under 18. So Rance also apparently was shown to have threatened to kill a prostitute after being rejected.
Wow.
So these are all the reasons
wow.
he thought the COO, because of the close relationship with Rance, that's right. why
mm-hmm.
they're doing this. Now, the COO, who is this Saint Laurent, he says he has no relationship with Rance. And after finding out about Fiddler's disappearance, he broke off the relationship that he had, basically. But he did occasionally train at the school unpaid, because of, quote, the sense of responsibility to his students. And also students from the school have stated that COO was never at the school when Fiddler was around.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he says then that Saeed's claim is basically, or the COO says that the reason that Saeed is angry is because he had been given a $5 royalty check for t-shirts.
Right.
And apparently originally he asked in 2018 for a $300K a year deal,
mm-hmm.
but was offered $100 appearance, which was the same as MJF at the time. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the thing. The thing is that,
it's all hearsay, huh? But it's interesting, right? I mean, my whole thing is, why would he go to that extreme? I mean, he was working for MLW, which is a an organization that's doing quite well with what they've been doing in the wrestling industry. Yeah. Why you now want to risk all of that for that to be the reason of, because you got a $5 check, royalty check, or some $100 appearance, and you want to end your career, be blackballed, and all of that because you're upset? It just, it seems weird for that to, I mean, it could be, but why? Mm-hmm. But why?
Yeah.
You know?
I actually just want to read a comment from Facebook. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Garth Wall chimes in and says, sexual predators have absolutely no place in professional wrestling or any industry when you might be very hands-on. And I agree 1,000%.
Yeah.
There's no place, especially in light of all this stuff.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll have to just see where that story goes from here. And we'll jump right over into our third count from another favorite website, Sports Skeetol. Skeet, 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 skeet. All right. All right. All right.
Sports Skeetol. All right, then.
I know, right? Well, look, here it is. Let's have fun with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Five wrestling rumors we hope are true, and five we hope that aren't.
All right.
I know, right?
Where's King Lucky when we need him?
Oh, man.
In fact, speaking of that, hey, Simon Street, why don't you go look for King Lucky?
I'm going to look for him real quick. Give me 1 second, all right? I'll be right back.
All right, cool. Boy, I hope he finds him. But until then, let's continue and see what's going on.
Yeah. What's going on, D?
Okay. Let's hope that this is true, right? Brock Lesnar's reported WWE SummerSlam replacement in case of travel restrictions. Sin City, do we hope that that's true? That we have, Brock and, what's his name? Drew. For the SummerSlam baby championship.
Thank you for proving the point about Drew McIntyre not being a champion.
Man, first off, I like Drew.
You just can't remember who the fuck he is.
Ooh.
Well, you know what? Maybe we would have remembered who he is if he was either in front of anywhere between 20,000 to 80,000 fans. Maybe it's kind of hard to remember him when he's, you know.
Man, I couldn't find him.
Oh, no?
I checked everywhere, man. I checked all of the websites. I checked in the land of, what was the place he had where we always go, like we said that, what is that called again? Rajaland. I checked in Rajaland. I couldn't find him. So I'm a little concerned.
Okay. Well, he's somewhere within his people of Smartville. So.
Yes, so. I guess they didn't see that coming.
But anyway, it says, Brock Lesnar is reportedly expected to be Drew McIntyre's main event opponent at SummerSlam 2020. So, guys, do you hope that this is true? If it is this a rumor you are willing to accept? Who want to go?
I didn't get this. What is the actual?
So, the number five is titled that they hope is true that Brock Lesnar's reported WWE SummerSlam replacement in case of travel restrictions. And it's
reported. Okay. So his replacement?
Replacement?
No.
As in he ain't going to be there? Or his opponent? Who's
Because he lives up in fucking Canada. So supposedly because of travel restrictions, he might not be Drew's SummerSlam opponent. So
right. Okay. Correct.
So the thing is the name that was floated in the article.
I read that wrong. My mistake. You're right, Matt. I actually read that. I get what you're saying. Correct. Go ahead.
The name that was floated in the article was Randy Orton.
Right.
And personally, I would be 100% okay with Randy Orton being his opponent. The bottom line is you got to figure. Okay, Randy Orton is supposedly in this feud with the Big Show now, which. I don't even get me started on that. We'll talk about that during wrestling talk where, you know, you basically cut off all the pushes of your young and upcoming talent just so that you can put over that promising blue chipper known as the Big Show and all of the other people that squashed the, you know, the people that were getting pushes when Heyman was riding for Raw.
Right. Okay. Come on, dude.
So, but no, in all seriousness, Randy Orton is the best heel on the Raw brand. I would be 100% okay with him filling in for Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. There's no reason why Orton shouldn't be up at the very top of the card and challenging for that championship. I'm 100% okay with that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go with you on that one, and then let's see what Simon Street thinks about this. This is what we hope isn't true, right? That Kyrie Sane's reported retirement plans. It says former NXT Women's Champion, most recently WWE Women Tag Team Champion Kairi Sane has been absent from TV ever since her head injury against Nia Jax recently. But according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, WWE initially had plans to send Kairi Sane back to Japan to be an ambassador. It goes both ways since she reportedly wants to go to stay with her husband. So this looked like this could be a wrap. Simon Street, do we hope that this isn't true and that we actually rather see that she's back in the ring?
I think maybe she might be retiring from the WWE. Do I think indefinitely? Is she retiring from wrestling in general? I don't think so. I mean, I don't see that. She's had, despite what has been presented in the WWE, past NXT is what I'll state it. And probably maybe a little bit in NXT, let's be honest. I felt that that should not be the light that we paint her legacy in her career thus far. There is so much that she's done before that. But I will also tell you that if it's a family thing, maybe, you know, I mean, we also kind of look at it. We're not superstars. You see what I'm saying? We can only guess. With this COVID thing that's going on and all that, there's a lot of uncertainty, not to scare anybody. But what if somebody does feel that way? And she was, if I'm not mistaken, was she close to who committed suicide? Went in the same
Nakamura?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody? They were tied or not.
She was still part of that community, right?
Of course. I can definitely tell you that, chances are Kairi has had enough of Nia Jax almost murdering her in the ring all 85 times that's happened.
Yeah. So. And maybe she does honestly want to spend time with her husband and wants to be with her husband. I mean, these people are humans. We appreciate the stuff that they do, but they're still humans and they still want to be with the people they love. And she wants to do it. Great. I hope it's not true because I'd like to see either WWE get it right with her or I'd like to see her go somewhere else to where they already got it right. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. For Matt Michaels, we don't have to, we can skip that we hope is true, that positive update on Renee Young's health. We do hope that is true.
We're not going to spend 15 minutes talking about that.
Well, if anybody should talk about it, it'd be Matt Michaels. Perennial glowing ray of sunshine.
Let me give though, Matt, how about this one? How about we hope this isn't true? And if one is reported, the reason for the recent Ric Flair, Randy Orton pairing. And it says that the Ric Flair pairing with Randy Orton mostly has to do with WWE bringing back the Legend Killer and giving him another prey. But he said, we hope what isn't true is that Randy Orton doesn't, we hope this whole story isn't true because Randy Orton doesn't need a mouthpiece. Moreover, it seems wrong to utilize someone like Ric Flair when he has pre-existing health issues and could be extremely prone to COVID-19, even if he wants to appear, WWE shouldn't. So, Matt Michaels, we hope this isn't true, right? The reason for Ric Flair and Randy Orton pairing.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You're not sure?
Well, because first of all, you know, at this point, I mean, I want to know where Ric Flair is. Because his grandpa is great on TV. But where is Ric Flair? I mean,
I see what you did.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
That's what it comes down to, man. I mean, the guy, just fucking keep him off TV, but he can't stay away. I don't think it's WWE going, you know. I don't. Listen, they don't have to influence him much, and he doesn't have to influence them much. Both of them are fucking. You know, you've got old man mentality and they're crazy.
Do you think Ric Flair reached out to WWE like, hey, put me in a storyline? Or do you think WWE, the story writer, said, hey, I think this would be great for Rick. Let's reach out to him and see if he accepts it.
I don't think there's much reaching out going on. I think he's around because of Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like they picked up the phone and called Hogan, right? Rick's around. Rick's very accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole idea here, too, is that you have Orton, who is once again part of that whole evolution. And, you know, for better or for worse, you're going to use Rick, it looks like. Rick's probably going to end up getting kicked in the head.
And he's going to bleed out, or he's going to bleed.
Well, possibly. He'll have to do it the hard way.
Because, well, I'm just saying, every time he comes back, I'm expecting to see him.
Yeah. So, I think it's just kind of silly in general to even call the WWE on shit because of the fact that it's like you can put out, you know, these like thoughts of, oh my God, I can't believe they're putting this guy through it. He's a risk for COVID, blah, blah, blah. They don't care. We know they don't care. And that was my point about the whole thing about, if you let the WWE do it, they're going to fucking do it. That's why I say the governor should have taken the steps, because if you just leave it to Vince, he's just going to do whatever the fuck he feels. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
He's very much, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And he's shown us that with the lack of caution through many, many years.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the other thing too. We're talking about wrestling. Wrestling is the most machismo fucking mindset for those people who have done, you know, we're in the generations before what is currently happening now. So
yeah,
these guys are in the mindset that the show goes on no matter fucking what. Ric Flair retired in one of the best matches that you could possibly retire on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And within a year, he's fucking on TV, you know, wrestling Hogan and bleeding like a stuck pig. So I don't know. Man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Those guys down.
Okay. Know? Well, this is our next one. And let me just warn our listeners or viewers that this could possibly be a spoiler for NXT. So if you don't want to know what the spoiler is, just dip out for about, I would say, 60 seconds and come back. If you don't mind, then let's just get right to it. Sin City Steve, I'm going to start review. They say they hope this is true, and that is that WWE reportedly films two endings for the NXT title match. Now, for ones that didn't know, it says that NXT superstar Indus Shur posted a spoiler on his Instagram story of the outcry of the winner-takes-all match between NXT champion Adam Cole and NXT North American champion Keith Lee.
And I'm reading ahead in the article.
Sure.
You actually don't necessarily even need to read the next paragraph.
So yes, sir.
We don't need to go spoiler-wise.
Boom.
One of the guys from Indus Shur was a fucking idiot and took a photo of the aftermath of that match. He posted it to his social media.
Like, why would he do that? Really? Like, that don't even make
sense. That's a completely rookie mistake.
Right.
But did you read what the reason he posted it? It was in response to Taz.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's actually what I'm going to mention now. And that is that, another tweet was that we don't run a sloppy shop. Two endings, two stories, find out next week. So hopefully the photo that was shared around all over the internet, I know that I got, it popped up in my feed right after the match had ended from being taped. And I was like, okay, great. I always get spoiled anyway, because I refuse to go and watch the East Coast feed, because that would involve me going and doing, watching it on a computer as opposed to watching it on TV.
Comfortable.
And so, no, I want to enjoy my best night of wrestling, which is Wednesday night, period. It's the best night of wrestling on TV. So for that reason, I almost always get spoiled on anything that goes down on Wednesday anyway. I got spoiled on what I thought to be the outcome of the match.
Mm-hmm.
However, according to what this guy's saying, and I don't know if this is, him trying to save face from posting that shot. But, you know, saying that they recorded, you know, two different endings with two different stories that came out of it. And we'll have to tune in next week to find out which one they actually use. Okay. All right, cool. It's not out of the realm of possibility. WWE has been known to record multiple endings for tape shows in the past. And I legitimately hope that that's something that they did. Now, whether or not they actually did, we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely a huge mistake for one of the guys in Indus Share to post that screenshot or that image.
So you do hope that it is true then that there are two
alternative.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Because at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I want to see good product on TV.
Right. Yeah.
Bottom line, you know, whether that's AEW, WWE, it doesn't matter. I like watching quality stuff and, you know, it's, to be spoiled on the match outcome the way that I was immediately. I'm before I saw this other tweet, I had, you know, one particular kind of a mindset going into next week's NXT show.
Yeah.
And
which one you going to get?
What's that?
You pretty much was going to say which one you going to get.
Exactly. Now, you know, with this other tweet being thrown in there, I don't necessarily know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If his message has gotten out to majority of wrestling fans, that right there could be enough to, you know, I mean, you're already saying that AEW is more likely he was going to lose anyway, but it could even bring in more because now they want to either see if it's true or if it's not, or how did they change it. And it creates a lot of just curiosity just on that, you know? Yeah. So I guess Triple H just pulled him to the side and say, look, man, you better hope this tweet works.
That part.
Either that or else you have to feel really bad for Malcolm Bivens and the other dude's partner in Indus
Share. That's just it, because Indoshare is a tag team. And that's the only way you're going to market it. You can't market half of it.
Right, yeah.
No.
And Bivens, you can't market Bivens by himself.
Yeah,
Bivens is
a gold towards mine. Him. I'm just saying,
Bivens is a gold mine. So I hope that he doesn't have any heat on him as a result of this.
Right.
But this is a great point about one of the things that I don't like, and that's having wrestlers in the fucking audience.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because here you go.
Yeah, but they should know not to do that. I mean, come on. But
at the same point. At the same point, you think that they should know, and they probably do know, but there are, you know, there are things that you do when sometimes you don't even think about it because now you're caught up as a fan.
True.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, I also particularly don't like seeing shots of people again who are, you know, again, this goes to the mask thing. Now, all of a sudden, they all got masks on, right? So, again, there's so much going on. It's just like, could you not just have had a very simply just tape fucking matches with no crowd just to have new product and that's it?
Yeah.
Period. If you would have done that, then maybe there would have been, you know, I don't know.
I somewhat understand your point, Michaels. The thing that I'll mention is, and again, this goes back to, you know, ratings not mattering, demographics not mattering. NXT is back to pre-quarantine COVID numbers for their viewing audience. Raw's not. SmackDown's not. So what is NXT doing differently than what either of those two shows are? So, I mean, you really have to do a risk reward kind of analysis with that.
Yeah, but when you put out a better product every fucking week.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, it's the best night for pro wrestling on TV, bar none.
The fact of the matter is, and again, it's not for me, it's not a hatred of AEW or anything. My feelings AEW needs to build as a company to build those ratings and to start hitting over a million, regardless what the fuck NXT does. NXT is a better product than SmackDown and Raw. It's better written. It's, you know, arguably it has more cohesiveness because they only focus on a smaller amount of people. Mm-hmm. And isn't that something that you could take just a small group of people and still see those people over and over and over? Cole's had the belt for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
not to peel back the curtain too much, but they actually posted something to their social media today. Today is the 400th day of him holding that championship.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, in this article, something was said about, you know, fans are getting sour on the fact that he's had the title this long or whatever.
But, and you know what's sad is if you look at long time ago, like I used to call the golden era, that's how titles were. The territory days, you have people hold their titles prospectively for long durations of time because they weren't defending it every damn week or whatever the case. Do you see what I'm saying? Me personally, I like it that way because you know, and I say this because I was never a fan of Brock Lesnar, but if you think about it, it's not that bad if you think about it. Dude comes in with a belt, right? Defends it, and then we don't see him for a while.
I've said that time and time again.
And I disagreed with you in the past. So I am correcting in saying that I now see the bigger picture and my thought process has changed. I prefer now to see a belt held, defended, and then he leaves for a little bit and he comes back whenever show you need him. But I also will say in that same vein that certain belts may be sub-card belts or whatever you want to call it, right? I think that like having a, let's say AEW's TNT where you're supposed to defend it more often, right? Or like TNA's back in the day, television title. I think those are cool in their place and how they're defended. So not everything has to have a simple science, but your main belt should be your grand prize. Where I reveal a beautiful lady, your crown jewel, all the fucking time. That's just my point. That's all I'll say.
Okay, all right. Let's jump over while you were speaking, Simon Street. Let's hope this isn't true, right? It says speculation on multiple WWE stars testing positive for COVID-19. Now, just to throw out the three names, there has been it's been specified that these three names in a way that imply that they may have tested positive. And it says Morgan, of course, Rose, DeVille, and Lana were all on a boat trip together days before testing. And Lana was the only one on television. Do we hope this isn't true, Simon Street? That's pretty tough, man. Morgan, Rose, and DeVille. Man, she's hot right now, you know, in the storyline. What's your take? Well, they both.
I mean, if it is true.
Yeah, go ahead.
It almost sounded like maybe another conversation, but I will say that at the end of it all, if it is true, it does suck because in the worst case scenario, if you know, people come up positive, some people are going to be out for that 14-day quarantine. Get it right, get it fixed, it tight, and it is what it is. The chance we all take, and it is what it is. I hope it's not true. I will say I hope it's not true, yeah. Mostly for Sonya Deville, because right now I look forward to seeing Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
I think that she's white hot. I think that WWE isn't fucking with the recipe as much as they've done to other recipes in the past. And go with the steam.
Yeah.
Don't let off the gas. And she got to be at work to do that. So I'll leave it at that. I hope it's not true.
What's interesting about that, though, I really, as much as the storylines are good, what's very interesting is I didn't even think about those people. I didn't think of them. You know, it didn't hit me. And then, like, oh, where's Sonya? Where's Mandy? And who has said, where's Liv ever?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Actually, she has.
I'm not saying she's not smoking. She is a smoke show. There's no doubt. But as far as, you know, who has ever gone, oh, I can't wait for that Liv Morgan match. You know, she has not found herself yet.
No, she hasn't.
But the fact of the matter is that Mandy's not on TV. Where's Otis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people are going to get this, the virus. I mean, it's something that I can't believe that in our society, we just have this blinder on as if this is not going to be around forever. We're just like,
yes.
Let's forget it. If we do this, it won't affect us. What the fuck? People are going to get sick, and eventually, in one of the companies, not saying WWE, not saying EW, but one of the major companies, someone's going to die eventually from it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sad truth, but it's truth.
You know, baseball's trying to start up right now. It's fucking ridiculous. They already have, without the training camps opening, they already have 38 people. And that's without the regular testing that they're going to, you know, be doing on it every, it's bi-daily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're expecting, and I hope that, you know, the Raiders are supposed to debut here in Las Vegas. I can't wait to see them in 2022.
Yeah. In the stadium that was completed in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? You know what? Part of with that statement, Michaels, is that these things tend to happen. Decisions are made like this because we have become a consumer culture, and that is a well fine-tuned up till this point machine that is steamrolled through many obstacles of walls of whatever adversity hit, whether it was terrorism, whether it was wartime, whether it was dysfunctionality amongst cultures and it spilled over. But this COVID, it's got a lot of people making decisions with hard heads. You know what they say, a hard head make a soft ass. And it's going to hurt when you fall on your ass. You never heard that phrase? That's the whole purpose of the phrase. You never heard that. A hard head makes a soft ass.
No.
Yeah, that's
they say that. Well, they say that because when you fall on your ass because you're just stupid, it's going to hurt more because you've always been using your head to rope.
All right.
Personally, I just call it beaver a beaver.
There you go. Thank you, Mike. Breathing new life into the beaver.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. That sounded bad. I didn't mean that. That was very insensitive.
Go sit in the corner.
I didn't mean it like that.
Go sit in the corner.
I guess so. Let me shut up or I get muted.
All right. So with Matt Michaels, we'll skip this one. It was what that we hope is true. And that is that Kayla Braxton, the fact that she announced her COVID-19 positive result, that the backstage has her support. So, yeah, I mean, we hope that is true. Can we imagine the backstage going, why did you say that? You know,
no, because Cornette's not there, so we're good.
Exactly.
But how about this one here?
Motherfucker.
What we hope isn't true, the Undisputed Era's reported main roster NXT situation. And I guess what this is saying is that, hey, if the rumors are true, how they will, you know, come out possibly on Wednesday, you know, you've had this faction now for a long time. And it's saying that not all four members of this faction are into the idea of a move into Raw or SmackDown.
Can you blame them?
Right. So
let's look at the track record.
So he said, hey, we hope this isn't true because the Undisputed Era would add a lot of value to a brand like Raw. However, we don't doubt that Adam Cole will eventually transition to Raw or SmackDown at some point. So, Matt Michaels, what do you think of this? Do you hope that this is something that isn't true?
Who's Adam Cole married to?
Yeah,
I think she's. I think she work on. Does she work on teeth?
She's a dentist.
Yeah,
and, I think and a role model.
Mm. Role model, that part. Yes,
that's the role model. Absolutely.
Yeah. ROLL.
So, yes. if I'm Vince and everyone else, I am basically going, what do you want?
Mm.
That's it. simple. His contract's almost up. Mm-hmm. What the fuck do you want?
Yeah.
Because it's very, very...
Uh-oh. I think we lost.
It's so very that if you snooze on that, you will literally freeze.
We may have lost Matt Michaels.
We look like we lost him. Oh, there we go. He's back.
Oh, he's back.
You're back.
All right. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is not the first time this has happened. But no, yeah. He'll walk. If his contract's up, and they're not willing to listen to what the group is saying as a group, he's obviously their blue chip of it. So. If he wants to walk, if they're not going to listen, that's it. Simple.
I will say this, that is interesting enough. I would like to see it, and I'm sorry I'm interjecting a question. But I'm saying, or not question, a statement. I'm saying that what if he did go separate ways, much in like a boy band situation to where one lead singer goes off, does his own thing, okay? And then at some point, it kind of could set up for if they ever do want to bring them back together as a novelty thing. I mean, that could be interesting as well. But I agree with you, Michaels. Cole is hot ticket. And WWE needs to do some Cirque du Soleil negotiation deals. What kind of pretzel shape you want me to be flexible with? Because if they lose him, he goes to AEW. That right there, fire.
I think, and I think respectfully, out of all of them, Fish is probably the... like the most expendable. He's he's solid. He's a good worker. He's a good performer, but you know, I don't see him as a singles wrestler as where I can see Kyle and, you know, Roddy, you know, has obviously been around for a while. And so I think they're all talented. I think you keep them together. I think you give them whatever the fuck they want. To at least appease them.
Yeah.
Because they've done that shit in the past before. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you really want to do fucking things right, this is where you do the whole Ric Flair thing tie-in.
How about that?
Have them come up, have Ric, you know, basically Randy kicks Ric into the next eternity of his life, and then after 6 months off or 4 months off, whatever, and we haven't seen maybe the Undisputed Era for a little bit, Rick shows up with his new horseman.
Mm. Yep. That right there would be excellent. Yep. That would be excellent.
Literally pass the torch. Because at this point, if you're ever going to do anything like the horseman again, or like...
That's the group.
That's what you need to do is finally have Rick before he, you know, I mean, the guy's 71 years old and he looks like he's 96.
And it'd be looking like that gold chain he'd be wearing his neck down a little bit. I love you, Rick, but don't be trying to fade the fuck. I'll be seeing you when you, bro, man, that neck ain't strong like it used to be.
Let's document.
I thought that was his chain.
Oh,
it might be another chain in the flap then. I don't know.
Matt Michael, let's document what you said, because if we see that storyline pop up.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to celebrate. We're going to do a whole podcast just on you.
I'm sending the check, all right? I'm sending the check, you know, for them to go ahead and send that to us.
Cats, if you're listening, please listen. Take that shit. Can we get that? Yeah, get that royalty covenant.
Yeah. All right, so last one. This one, this could be for, again, all of you. Sin City, I'll let you start off with it. This one we'll kind of skip. I think we all would agree, we hope it's true, that Andrade and Angel Garza have a long-term sort of, you know, plans for them. So they're stars right now. So I think we can agree with that.
But I don't understand why they've teased the infighting and the breakup stuff between you know, Andrade and Angel Garza.
Yeah.
Keep them together as a team. Keep them with Zelina Vega. They've got a good thing going.
Yeah.
Like, just continue to build that. Build those guys up. And I think that if you do that and you put in the time with them, that you'll definitely reap the benefits.
Yeah.
So it makes me happy that Meltzer is saying that that they're projected to be together on a team for a while. So I hope that that's the case. Now, granted, obviously, if you had them jobbing out to the Big Show and, you know, all these guys,
yeah,
then that I got a problem with. But, yeah, we'll see.
If Meltzer said it, that means
the opposite's happening.
Yeah, within the next
So yeah. The very last thing that we hope...
Plans changed.
I know, right? The last thing that we hope that isn't true is that people backstage are insisting that Vince McMahon signs Tessa Blanchard. And I'm curious to know, do you guys hope that that isn't true? First off, it says that, you know, she has an attitude problem that seems to be an undeniable part of the package that she brings along, and that this was caused major issues in WWE, and unless she spends time away and rebuilds her reputation, she should probably stay away from WWE. But what's being said is that there are people backstage chewing at Vince McMahon's ear off to sign Tessa Blanchard to WWE. And he was saying, we hope this isn't true because all signs seem to indicate that WWE should avoid signing Tessa Blanchard for a while longer. And I even mentioned this, I think, last week when I said, hey, with the claims she had come out with her, you know, the racist claims and, you know, those things that came out, why jump on that so quick? So I would say I agree that I hope this isn't true. But what do you guys take? They're insisting Vince McMahon signs Tessa Blanchard. Do you hope that is true or not true? Boom. Let's go over to you, Simon Street. Let's do it. I'm going to go to you because I had Sin City. What's your take on this?
You know, I honestly feel my reasons, as I've disclosed before, I don't want Tessa nowhere near WWE. It has nothing to do with her attitude. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. Okay. I ain't got no problem with that. Yeah. Everybody got beef. We human. She do what she got to do to make that right. Mm-hmm. That's on her.
Okay.
But I have a problem with WWE landing a golden egg only to melt that motherfucker and can't reform it into the gold statue it's supposed to be. Tessa is meant to basically go wherever she's going to go and fucking dominate.
Yep.
Dominate. Hmm. She has the pedigree. She has the skill set. She has the strength. God, she got the strength. Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to book her any other way? Maybe I only see her in one way, but I know I'm not alone in saying that the way she has been booked before is perfect. You can't fucking lose. And if you disagree with me and you're this big WWE person that thinks, oh, I don't mean, no, how did they book Ronda? If they had booked her soft as some bread with some milk on it, that would have been a travesty.
Did they book her as world champion beating the man? The male champion?
I honestly believe if Ronda had requested it and made it a bigger deal, I think they could have possibly rolled in that direction. I couldn't see them, her beating like a Brock Lesnar or something like that. But I could see if at the time when Ronda was hot and they were trying to do everything they could to appease her, and I'm just saying as an opinion, if she requested it, I think it could have been booked and believable. And I'm saying Tessa's almost along the same line as that. That's just my opinion. I think she go to WWE, they're going to fuck it up.
I agree that they would fuck it up, but you know, I personally would see her slotting right in to the AEW women's division and adding legitimacy to that division. And her talents would definitely be used the best in AEW. Comparatively, it's how many times have we talked about how stagnant the AEW women's division is? Mm-hmm. And it was something that they, you know, they tried to hype up that, you know, they were going to have the most engaging women's division in all of pro wrestling when they were founded, blah, 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 blah. And largely that division has fallen on its face. It's been a shit show, with all due respect. But I think that if you bring in Tessa, I mean, her dad's already on the roster as a manager for Sean Spears, you know,
mm-hmm.
who's to say that she couldn't, you know, be managed by her dad as well. And instantly you have your women's division right then and there.
Oh boy, if he manages her, I hope he does the same type of job he's doing for Sean Spears.
Sean, so here's the thing, is you're keep in mind what you just compared. You're comparing Tessa Blanchard to Sean Spears. I think that you and I both know that that's a false equivalency, and you know it.
Yeah, it's not equal.
I just find it funny though, because
Michaels.
You're come on, man. Come on.
If you think they're equivalent.
Come on.
Well, no, I think that, you know, if he gives Tessa a loaded glove, she'll be great. you know what? What it comes down to is this. Again, I don't think if I'm any company right now, I don't touch her yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's let the maturity happen. Let her mature a little bit. She's still a young pup.
Mm-hmm.
She actually is a very delightful young woman. So let it, you know, let her mature into becoming the person that she's going to be. So hopefully that things that have been said or, you know, actions that have been taken in the past, that can be kind of cleared.
I could see that.
But the other thing is this. If she sits, she makes herself more valuable. All right? Play that game. Just wait it out. Have the companies begging for you until the right situation comes your way. Because if I'm her, I want to know what I'm getting into. So I protect myself if I go into NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anywhere you go, probably the safest place is NXT.
Oh, yeah, without question. Yeah,
they're not going to kill you.
I would not want her on the main roster. Not at all. Not for several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know the reason why.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is that as good as she is now, NXT is a polishing school.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a great place. AEW would be great because it would help the women's division.
Right.
But with something that already doesn't have a full structure, you're running the risk of that becoming the obstacle. You know, then things can fall apart quickly. But if you're in a controlled environment, that's the other thing. You know, NXT has had their chance. So obviously there was something that it kept them hesitant of signing her at that time.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, we can sit here and we can say, oh, you know, this place, that place. The best thing for her right now is she's in a position to be in control. And listen, if you look at Cross and you look at Scarlett, that is just a perfect example of two people who were stuck in a situation and forced way out just like us did. And, you know, that could be what you could see with Tessa, which would be great. You know? So, yeah. I mean, and again, with AEW, it'd be a good place, but does it happen where, you know, look at Cage. If Cage doesn't win that title now, you just brought in this guy, built him up, had Taz as a mouthpiece, and then it's just like, okay, now go play with the Dark Order or something.
Or something. Yeah.
Well said.
Man, good points, fellas.
Notice. I didn't even touch Raw or SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that Raw and SmackDown wouldn't even be go play with the Dark Order. It'd be like, hey, go just chase your tail.
Or even better, we're going to put you with Lana and then everything will work out great.
Well, at least she wouldn't have COVID.
Okay. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is our three count for the show. So with that, we're going to end it there. We thank everyone for listening and hanging out with us. Make sure to continue to subscribe if you haven't yet. What are you waiting for? Pick up your phone, go to your favorite podcast platform, just put in Vegas Bad Boys with a Z, and just hit the subscribe button. It's just that easy. And we will be with you all the time. Okay, so with that, we're just going to, I guess, give our final thoughts for the show. And let us start with Simon Street, man. What would you like to leave us with?
You know, just everybody continue to be out there and be safe. I hope everybody had a fantastic 4th of July. And, you know, I just, you know, I wish everybody the best, you know. And as far as for me, I'm going to be doing Streetside Streams tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Going to be streaming some more Destiny. A lot of stuff's coming up. Again, in July, I'm super excited for wrestling game coming out.
Okay.
Hopefully some other people will buy it on PC and play it with me. You know, just keeping it moving. Keep like a wise man told me before, keep on keeping on.
Yeah. It's interesting because that same wise man told me let a beaver be a beaver. You know?
Touche. Looking right back at you.
Sin City Steve, man, what's your final thoughts?
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. And it's been a rather arduous task. I know that we went on a couple of rants tonight, but thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you to everybody who popped into the Facebook chat, the YouTube chat with us. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have more of a pronounced presence there. And we're gonna be reading your stuff more frequently on the air. So yeah, if you feel inclined to say something, say something. Chances are it'll end up being read on the show. As we get out of here, just like to remind everybody, this show, we do have a little thing going right now with Rep Sports, makers of the Raise Energy Drinks, mm-hmm. Among all sorts of other things. You know, they've even got protein popcorn, for the love of God. But yeah, pre-workout, weight loss, all that kind of stuff. Go there, get some product, yes, and use our coupon code at checkout, which is just Vegas, VEGAS.
Yes.
Use coupon code Vegas at checkout. You'll save 15% on your order. And I've actually got a box of stuff coming to us that I will be doing an unboxing video for our channel.
Okay.
And I'll show you guys what all will come in that promotional box that you yourself can get your hands on as well. So keep your eyes open for that. And until next time, we'll check in with you.
Matt Michaels.
Okay. All you Democrats out there, listen to me. Masks are very important. Mm-hmm. Wear them. Mm-hmm. All right. It helps prevent you giving something to someone. So therefore, if you're wearing one and someone else is wearing one, you're not giving anything to each other. Mm-hmm. So definitely wear them. The virus is very, very real. You know, this is no bullshit. Mm-hmm. So please just make sure that you're taking care of yourselves, your neighbors, and just, you know, making sure you're doing good. For your Republicans out there, mm-hmm. you don't have to wear a mask. It's all bullshit. All right? don't share this with anyone else, but between you and me, they fucking made this shit up. All right? So just don't wear a mask. Everything's cool. Hey, have you seen how empty the beaches are? Fuck, it's your chance to go to the beach.
Man, everything that he just said is a fucking joke.
Hey, real quick, vote for Kanye 2020 because that's real news.
Oh my God.
Fuck that shit.
Fuck the division. Fuck the division. This is a time where we need
to play. Hey, I like the division too. I played the division too. Go, one of the best Ghost Recon games ever, man.
Oh God. With that, guys, thank you for listening. Continue to tell your friends all about us. Let them know, hey man, I got this podcast. You got to listen to them because, hey, in the podcast match, we're related to some of the top podcasts that's out there. So give us a try. Tell your friends about them. Let us know. Hit the subscribe button, and we'll love it, all right? So until then, we will see you next week. We're out. Peace.
biggest bad boys of podcasting.